SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Perreault on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken knee, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do be. Along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, the founder of the ILC podcast, the right shoulder of the sheet of integrity, to put it with the golf guru, Carver High this afternoon, ladies. Mafia's running it with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on a misery Monday. Here's what we're doing today. A double shot with Morenci from British Columbia. This very hour, in the second hour, a double shot with Coach James Young, our basketball guru. In the final hour, look who it is. Smiley Kaufman with Carver High. And then Elvis will be in the building. Denny Bernstein from the fourth period and NHL Radio on Sirius XM. A big show today. And we started off with the NBA playoffs. I watched a lot of playoff games Saturday and Sunday, Carver High. I saw everything, including the Knicks getting whacked.
Yeah, they really did. There was no 20-point comeback on Saturday. For the Knicks at home against the Celtics. Celtics weren't missing much. The Knicks kind of didn't give much back. And I know they asked a bunch of the guys after the game, do you feel like you were, you know, just comfortable because you're up 2-0, whatever? It ain't going to be that easy. And I got to tell you, Scotty, you start looking towards tonight, game number 4. If Boston wins tonight, I don't got much faith the Knicks are going to win this series. I really don't, if they get this thing back equal to 2-2.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I don't either. Because here's why. I think, you know, in games 1 and 2, they led by 20 in each. In game 3, they led by 30. And they have dominated the Knicks until they melted like an ice cream cone in games 1 and 2 in the fourth quarter. And they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. When they played game 3 at the Garden in New York, they hit half of their threes. They were 50% from three. So if they go anywhere over 40% from three, they're not blowing a 20-point lead ever again. And if they have over 50, you can forget it. And then, so think about it. They dominated every single game until they couldn't hit shots. Then they started hitting shots. They're going to keep hitting shots. I don't really, frankly, seeing them have a game 1 or 2 meltdown again where they can't hit the broadside of a barn. I think they're playing better than the Knicks. I thought the Knicks' comebacks were incredible because they made all their shots and the Celtics didn't. And, you know, since then, we saw the real outcome of a game where they're up 20 or 30. They finished them off. And that was that. Tonight, if they beat him again, I would agree with you, they're going to win the series.
Yep, big game 4 tonight at the Garden. We will discuss that. We've got all the other series as well, including, you know, we left here on Friday, and we thought when we came back on Monday that Denver and Oklahoma City would be 2-2 one way or the other. And Denver got that overtime win on Friday night, and then yesterday they looked really out of gas. I mean, both teams kind of looked out of gas, maybe because of the late night and then early start Sunday. But OKC gets the job done now, 2-2, a best of three as they go back to OKC.
Well, you know, I thought on, you know, Friday night, I wasn't surprised at all. I bet Denver. I told you I'm taking Denver outright at home. Meanwhile, they were getting 6 in that game, 6.5, whatever it was. I want to see, you know, what it closed at. Closed at 6. So bottom line was, and then, you know, in that game, they win in overtime. They got it done. They were at 102 apiece, and Joker had a shot to win it at the end, missed. They go to overtime. They finish him off, and they win the game. Then on Sunday, that was just a bad game. And all around by both sides, they shot poorly. Both teams in the first half, it was 42-36 at the break. But when it mattered most, the Thunder hit the shots at the end of the game and put the ball in the hole, and the Nuggets didn't. And that was why they won game four. So now I think a lot rides on game five at the Paycom and OKC. And my guess would be here initially that the Thunder are the bye at home. The last game they played at home, they put up 149. I don't know if that's happening again, but I thought, you know, they both shot poorly, but I thought one team looked more exhausted than the other, and that was Denver. I thought Joker looked tired. His shot looked tired. He was off. This is the second game he's been off and, you know, played poorly. And we're not used to that, right? So at some level, I think Oak City's defense does it to them and him.
Yeah, no doubt. You're not used to seeing him look like he did yesterday. He just doesn't look like himself, and it seems like it's kind of wearing on him a little bit. He could use some rest here as they get themselves ahead of game number five. And then, of course, Pacers are up 3-1, beat the Cavs last night, smoked them, really. I mean, it's like 8 points in the first half, and they beat the Cavs' ass. And then we'll have a game four tonight also with the Warriors and the Timberwolves after Mini won game three on Saturday night in San Francisco at the Chase. So they're looking to even that thing up at home. Obviously still no Curry.
Well, I thought Cleveland looked really good Friday night at the Fieldhouse and really blew them out 126-104. And then on Sunday, no one saw that coming. Like, I thought that the Pacers would cover for sure at home in game four, where they looked so bad in game three. You knew they were going to come out with a different focus and a different energy, and they did. And they were up 41 at the half. The game was over. And I thought, you know, I thought Obi played great for the Pacers, to be honest with you. He came off the bench and had 20. He had that big wrap around Dr. J look in reverse off the, you know, kiss. And I thought that, you know, you look at all the guys, Siakam and Turner played really well, and Top, and three guys over 20. They smoked them, and now they're up 3-1. And all I've been hearing is how Cleveland's going to win the series still, that they're down 3-1, and they're gonna win in Cleveland, and then they're going to win at the Fieldhouse, then they're going to win in Cleveland in a game seven. I say that's not happening. I think Cleveland wins game five. I think the Pacers go home and finish them off. And I'll tell you why. I've said it for, you know, months on end, because they're just better. They're just a better playoff team. The Cavs are a regular season phenomena, and I think that the Pacers are a playoff team. They're a team that goes on runs in a postseason. They went to the Eastern Final. They got their ass beat, but they made it, and the Cavs never do.
Nope, they do not. I'm with you. I don't think that the Cavs are going to win the next three games. I think Indiana's going to find a way here up 3-1. They're going to win probably game six at home, as you just mentioned. So all the basketball, we've got the hockey. We'll go through everything from the weekend. We got two more games tonight. Florida-Toronto now even to twos. What a finish Saturday night in that Vegas-Edmonton game that kept the Knights season alive with 0.4 seconds left.
Yeah, I bet the Knights.
Went off of drive.
Yeah, I hit that game with 0.4 left. And then I actually bet the Leafs last night at plus $1.58. I thought that they would stun the Panthers and go home 3-1, and instead they're going home 2-2. I thought Bobrovsky was great, and I thought the Panthers' forecheck and defense at the other end was great all night in a shutout. That's his second shutout of the postseason.
Rantanen staying hot, too, giving the Stars a 2-1 lead in that series over Winnipeg. We'll talk about it. We got all the baseball from the weekend. It's a major week in golf, the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow this week, so we have that. The NFL schedule comes out this week. They already put the first game out, Cowboys and Eagles, the opening Thursday night game. So we have a lot to do. Very, very busy.
And the NBA draft lottery is tonight. We're going to find out where Cooper Flagg's going tonight.
Utah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 on all of our TV and radio outlets. We get Gabe Morenci for a double shot from Vancouver every day. I want to start with the Whitecaps. You went to the Whitecap game over the weekend at home at BC Place. How'd that go? And then I got in front of that oil can winning streak on Saturday night. I bet Vegas and hit it with 0.4 left. And then Sunday night, I bet the Leafs plus $1.58 and lost it all back. I wanted to know what you thought of all those games, including your trip to the Whitecap game. I was watching. At one point, it was 2-2. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it ended up 2-2, Scott. And good to be with you. It ended up 2-2. Whitecaps spotted a two-goal lead early in the game. LAFC came out strong. They came out hot. They scored an early goal. Then they scored again. But Vancouver showed their resiliency in banging back twice. They nearly scored a couple of other times. Horribly officiated match, but it's really cool that the Whitecaps are in these big games. You know, there was the MLS game of the week on TV.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun down there. They had their biggest crowd of the season without what that didn't include Messi. So their biggest MLS crowd.
I saw it on Apple. Season. I had it on my TV.
It's a great time, Scott. You know, you'd really enjoy it if you came down here. I know you love the city, but we got to get you out to a BC Lion game. You got the nice hoodie. You got the gear.
It's around
the
corner season. I want to go to a Whitecap game. I want to go to a BC Lion game, and I want you to take me out and get me hammered at some of the local establishments.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not a big fan of these Sunday night soccer games, Scott. We're not getting any younger, I'll tell you that.
Well, hey, but you said the officiating was horrible. How about this? I'm emergency reffing tonight. I got called today because,
oh boy.
So the basketball league that I play in, I actually have reffed a few times when, like, the ref doesn't show up. He's at the bar drinking or whatever. And so a couple times I've reffed. I mean, obviously, I play ball my whole life, so I'm reffing tonight two games. And I don't tolerate anything because they all know I'm a player. And they're like, why is this guy roughing? They start complaining when I got the whistle. They're like, what's happening here? I go, what's happening here is I'm going to let you play. And we're going to see how much violence we can get away with. I don't blow the whistle that much. I let guys get, you know, you got to really get hit to get and one. And that's
so
how
if you
I
call
rap,
a foul, it's a foul then. Yeah, because you're going to let a lot go. Yeah.
I want it to be like the park. When everybody's in the park, there's never a foul. You're like, what do you mean there's a foul? You're a P. So I let him play. So I'm reffing tonight. Two games. We'll see if I can get in any trouble. What did you think of the Vegas win? And what did you think of the Leafs getting shut out?
Well, as far as the Vegas win is concerned, you know, this goes back. I mean, the week before, we saw St. Louis and Winnipeg kind of lived through the same thing. It's amazing to me, Scott. I mean, I can't recall. This is the craziest NHL playoffs ever, right? I mean, we've been watching hockey a long time, right? I remember when the Montreal Canadiens, we're going back a ways, when the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup in 1993, there was like 11 overtime wins for them, like literally and figuratively. Like they won almost every game in overtime they went to. The Rangers, when they won the Cup in 94,
right.
The Canucks hit the post, right? The Rangers nearly got knocked out by the Devils. There's been, like, close and, oh, my God, that was, like, you know, an epic classic. Dude, these playoffs in the NHL this year, you can't top this. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, Scott, where it's like, you know what I mean, where there's 3 seconds left in the game and there's a face-off, and it's like, there's still a chance. They might score. They could score. You know what I mean?
And they do.
No, it's like, normally, it's like, you know, no, dude, the game's over. It's not a hope in hell you're going to score. And it keeps happening. Unbelievable. Man, we got a series there. Listen, Edmonton are so resilient, Scott. I don't really – when they lose a game, it's like, yeah, whatever, dude. They're going to bounce back. Or even when they're down 2-0 in a series, whatever, they're going to bounce back. The Leafs are a lot like the Knicks, right? We use that comparison all the time, Scott. They both had the big lead. Now you don't. And I think, you know, part two comes tonight for the Knicks where Boston beats them again. And next thing, you know, the party is over. It's like, well, we're not up 2-0 anymore. We're choking. And this is, you know, the Leafs are in the middle of it here right now. Nobody said it was going to be easy for either of these teams. But, you know, the Leafs absolutely positively need to win the next game, Scott. They can't go down 3-2. Like, they otherwise, they're not going to win the series. I hate to use the term must win with a game five. But the Toronto Maple Leafs need to win the next game. Like, if the Oilers lose tonight, It's like, okay, we're tied at two. No one's, you know what I mean? I'm not panicked.
I don't think they'll lose.
I don't think they will. The reason I bet on them
is when I saw the price at 130 on Saturday, right? I was like, only 130. They've won six in a row. So I jumped on Vegas. I got them at plus 110. And then I look at it again today and it's 130 again. And I'm like, you know what? That 130 is juicy to me, like a burger.
Man, these dreaded two-goal leads, too. It's another thing, huh? Teams get up by two. You know it's like, yeah, they're going to lose. The other team's going to come back.
Yeah.
The other team's going to come back. Listen, they've got some issues right now. Pickard's a journeyman, but he was playing well, right? They had won six games in a row. He's hurt. He's more injured than they're letting on right now. From what I saw last night, in the late night hours, that they're actually calling up like another goalie right now. Like they're running out of bodies. So it's going to be Skinner or bust, and that was a bust, Scott. I don't like blaming one player. You can't blame one player for a game ever. You know what I mean? It's a culmination, the culmination of plays. But, bro, that Skinner, like, getting pulled out of the net like he was, like, that just can't happen. And then Draisaitl tips it in. It was just like an act of God.
He was on another island. He was so far out of the crease.
Scott, he wasn't.
You couldn't even see him.
Yeah, when you look at the overhead shot, he's not in the camera. He's not in the frame. That's not good.
Oh, I know.
That's not good.
Like, what did you think of the dummy hit?
You know, listen, the Panthers, they bring out the worst in people, Scott. That's what I'll say. Like, the Panthers cheap shot you, you end up cheap shotting them, and it goes back and forth. We saw it with the Tampa Bay Lightning series. So nothing surprises me here, but like I said, we got it's game on in that series right there. It's game on.
Do you think that Tkachuk will back up what he said? That, you know, I'll see you game five because I'm going to hit you. He told Nylander he was going to take him out. You think
he
will?
I think they will. Yeah, I think, within the framework, that's what they do, and they live up to it. That's why they win.
All right, we'll come back with Marinz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're talking to Marinci. So Carolina and Dallas, I thought, were very convincing at home, and I think it might stay that way for those next two games, the game fours in Raleigh and in Dallas at the American Airlines. I mean, they both look so good in their own building. I mean, way better than the teams they're facing.
Well, you know what? The Winnipeg Jets have been, they win at home, right? And they had home ice advantage. I keep bringing up the fact that they do have home ice advantage in every series they're going to play in, but they coughed up that one home game already. So they're behind the eight ball. Right now, I'm not done with the Jets. I know people. I told you that last week. Remember they fell all the way to 17-1 last week to win the cup. I think this is going to be a long series, but at the same point in time, I'm kind of kicking myself, Scott. That I swear, bro, like 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, I said, you know, I think it's going to be Carolina and Dallas in the finals. I called it the NASCAR final. I'm like, it's going to be like two non-hockey markets that end up playing against each other. We all talk about, Toronto and Edmonton and you know, these teams, the Boston Bruins, right? And in the end, it's going to end up being the Canes probably against the Dallas Stars. But they're a damn good team, Scott, this Star team, right? I mean, they've been knocking on the door for a while. They haven't won a cup in a long time. They made it to the finals in the COVID, one of the COVID years. It's easy to forget in the bubble there, but they lost to Tampa. In the bubble, and they're knocking on the door right now. I hate to say it just because I have the Jets in my future bet, Scott, but I think the Dallas Stars are going to win this series eventually.
They can't win on the road in Winnipeg. I still think Edmonton will beat Dallas.
Yeah, I'm not giving up on the Oilers either. That's my new pick, the Oilers to win. I got the Oilers versus the Leafs. We'll see. If the Leafs get past the Panthers, it's a big if. But I think if they do, they'll have the confidence. And Carolina are really good as well. But I think the Leafs could beat them. But you know, Carolina are a lot like Dallas, right? The way that they play. And Carolina, it's like watching a Team Europe all-star team or something, Scott, right? Every dude's like, oh, yeah, that guy, oh, this guy. Like, they have a bunch of dudes that nobody really knows or didn't want. And look, they lost Randon, Scott. He goes there. They trade a bunch of stuff. He goes there. He's gone, lighting it up, and they're still winning, Scott. It's unbelievable what Brendan Moore does. It's just like plug and play there with that team.
Yeah, the Caps, you can get a goal and a half with them at minus a buck 15 tonight. They got their ass beat there in Raleigh in game three. You can lay the goal and a half at minus a buck 5 with the Canes. And now that Oiler game tonight is down to minus 120. I want to get your thoughts on the – you already said you think Boston's going to win tonight. And you, I'm assuming you think they'll cover the 6. And then who do you like Minnesota laying 5 at the Dubs at the Chase in the City by the Bay?
Well, I tell you what, man. I don't know about you, Scott. I was on the Golden State Warriors on Saturday night, and I was just hating myself the whole time. I'm like, man, well, you're an idiot. What the hell are you taking the Warriors for? Like,
they cover.
They're getting lit. They're getting lit up. Yeah, and Kuminga hits the shot, Scott.
They covered. I bet on him, too.
Yeah, it was an impossible 3 he hit, too. It was a really nice shot, right? And, like, he didn't have to do it, you know, and he just, he hits it. I was like, thank God he hits it. And then yesterday, same thing. We got really lucky. We had Denver plus 7. They ended up losing by 5, right? So, you know, it was Golden State tonight. I almost want to go back to it, but I'm worried that it's going to implode on me. But I'm going to go back to it with the Warriors tonight. But I don't trust the Knicks, Scott. I think, you know, we see this with Boston. They normally suck in a game. Everybody says they're terrible and Jason Tatum sucks and blah, blah, blah. They're overrated. They shoot too many threes. And then a week later, they're up and they win the series 4-2. Right? Like, I think the Celtics' demise might have been a little bit premature right now. Listen, the Knicks are exactly like the Leafs. I'm telling you, they're the same team, same situation. If the Knicks are going to win this series, they need to win this game tonight, Scott, point blank. And this thing's 2-2. They're done. You know it. I know it. They know it. And Spike Lee knows it. Everybody knows it. They need to win this game tonight. I don't think they will, though. I think Boston's going to get it done again, Scott.
And what about the Warriors without Curry again at home tonight?
Well, I wish we were getting 8. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's only 5 here. I'm going to take the Warriors. I don't know, but I think... I wouldn't be surprised if they lose. So it's one of these deals where I'm kind of – it's not a great bet if, you know, we don't think they could win the game outright. We got to hope that it stays within 5 points.
So 4 big playoff games tonight. Any baseball stand out to you that you're into real quick?
No, not yet, Scott. I'm going to jump into the baseball card. Big series. You know, you got the Yankees on the West Coast with Seattle. It's going to be a fun series. I think Seattle could be a live dog tonight.
Toronto just swept them.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Great to have you with us on Coast to Coast to start the week off. I'm Pharrell with Carver High in New York City. It's Smarter to Be on Sports Grid as we dive back in to the Pacers' big, huge blowout of the Cavs yesterday.
It was a big, huge blowout of the Cavs. 129 to 109 was the final score, but I don't even think that does it justice. The Pacers came out hot. They came out swinging. And they scored 80 points in the first half, well on their way on TNT.
It's a 15-2 Pacers run, and they smell blood in the water. Turner! Basket. Final 3 seconds of the half. Neesmith gets a clean up, and he hits it. Why not? The Indiana Pacers put up an 80 spot.
So, like, they had an 11-2 run, a 13-0 run, and a 19-2 run to dust it and polish it off. So you just can't give up those types of runs where you just don't score, and the home team's pouring it on, and the fans are on their feet screaming and waving flags, and they're drunk, and it's just to the point where it got out of control, right? Like, you're up 41 at the half, like, game over, time to watch something else, right? That game, let's face facts, it sucked. Like, it was just so lopsided and so dominated, I couldn't believe it. And then to boot, you got Spida with an ankle. He did nothing and he got hurt. So And then, you know, it really is amazing to me to listen to them talk about how they got this all under control. Like, you know, we're down 3-1, no problem. We're going to win. No, you're not. Okay, so I've said this 50,000 times on this show. One, they're going to win. Two, if they play the Knicks, they'll beat them. Three, if they play the Celtics, they'll lose to them again. They got matchup problems with Boston, in my opinion.
And look, and the one thing also for them from last night, you know, they got nothing out of Haliburton in that game. You know, Siakam had 21, Turner had 20, Toppin had 20. You know, there was a lot of guys who did the heavy lifting. Haliburton only had 11, 5, and 5 in the game. What do you think of them throwing Mathurin out and not throwing Hunter out after Hunter shoved him across the floor after he gave him a little shot?
I just thought that the entire thing was kind of soft. Like, I never, what was he, brushing a mosquito off his chest? I don't know what it was. So, like, if he would have nabbed him right in the onions and, you know, kicked him or kneed him in the onions, that's one thing. But to just, like, you know, basically, he didn't even, like, what did he do, shove him? He didn't shove him. It was the other way around. After he, you know, touched him, then he got shoved down to the floor, which was a big flop. And I was surprised that, frankly, they threw him out. I didn't think what he did was so flagrant. They called it a flagrant, too. What did he do to him? Like, I don't know how many times I saw it. I just thought it was soft.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense, especially when you watch it and you go, I mean, it felt like Hunter's response was a lot more.
I thought maybe he gave him a T-twister. I thought maybe he gave him a T-twister, like when you were a kid. Now, I'm reffing tonight. Yeah. I would not have called that foul. I just would have said, all right, boys, break it up. Let's go. Your ball outside out. Like, kicking guys out of the game for, literally a T-twister. Come on. That was the one thing I did like about it, though, was Hunter saying, I'll meet you outside. Because you get that, too, at the gym. Well, let's just go out to the car. We'll go out to the parking lot and we'll settle this right now. Because if you do it in the gym, you're going to get kicked out of the gym.
He was definitely looking for some further entanglements with him later on.
I got in a fight in the gym, as you know. So I got in a fist fight in the gym. You get tossed. I did a 2-year stretch at Leavenworth.
Here's Rick Carlisle, the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. There's still a lot more work to do despite being up 3-1.
We haven't done anything yet. We're a pretty significant underdog
always
in every
us.
Game
Listen
we've played
this
in
guy.
This series, and that will continue till the end. And we're going to keep approaching this like we have everything to prove. And we know people don't believe in us. And so we're going to just stay in the fight and keep fighting. All things about the scores and all that other stuff is meaningless. That this game is now history. And so we got to stay in the present moment as much as we can, try to maintain an edge. There's going to be a big haymaker coming on whatever day it is, Tuesday.
Listen, I agree with him about all of that, except the fact that, nobody respects us. Nobody believes in us. Nobody thinks we're going to do this. And that is so not true. Now, how is it that you can't even leave this picture without seeing that you and I are both on them? I mean, we've been on them the whole series. We've been on them the series before that. I've been on them for 3 months. I don't want to hear how people don't think the Pacers are good. I'm not stupid. I play too much ball and watch too much ball not to see that they're 10 deep. They got two squads and a good coach. They're good.
Right. And the other thing I'm also it's getting a little stale to me, and I'm going to play it for you now. Like, I get when the playoffs first started that dopey poll came out and they had to ask Haliburton 1,000 times about being the most overrated player in the league, and he had all those huge comeback against Milwaukee, huge comeback to beginning of this series, huge game-winning shots. Do we have to ask him about after every game? Do we have to keep asking him about this? Like, it's getting really stale. Here's Haliburton.
It's just basketball, bro. I get paid a lot of money to play a child's game, so I love what I do. I love my job.
Yeah, I don't even really look at it as a job. I have a lot of fun with what I do. And, I think there's, always commentary behind what I do, positive or negative. And it's hilarious because a lot of times it's people who know nothing about me have so much to say. It's usually the people who, don't come around or don't spend any time around me that have the most to say. But that's all part of it. I'm a basketball player. I love what I do. I love being here in Indiana. I love playing for this organization. I feel like, criticism sometimes is warranted, sometimes it's not.
Listen, let's get real here for a second so we're clear. Most people, like 98% of people, have zero access to NBA superstars. Okay? Zero access. Okay, second of all, I don't need to know you to know that you're a good ball player. All I have to do is watch tons of your games, which is what I do. And three, I play so much. I know the game. So I can tell when a guy is a good player and when a guy isn't. It's real simple for me. And I don't tend to, what do I care about this guy's life or, criticize his life? I give a rat's ass about you, bro. So, honestly, I think you're a great player. And I don't care what you do when you leave the field house and drive to your home out in the sticks in Indiana. And believe me, I went to Indiana. I know all about Indiana and how farmland ass it is. I know how everyone lives in the middle of nowhere. I mean, even Indy is small time. Small time town. It's a little village, okay? Don't tell me. I live in New York City. Okay, thanks so much. Thanks so much. You know what Indianapolis is? That's downtown. That's lower Manhattan. Your whole city lower is lower Manhattan. Thanks so much.
If you think that the Cavs come all the way back, it's actually only plus 260. I got to tell you, I need a lot more than that for a team to win three straight to close out the series. I need a lot more than that.
Yeah, and you don't need to worry about that. It's not happening. If they blow this, I will keel over. I mean, they're really a solid team. Just get it done, for Christ's sakes. You got three cracks at it. Get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Mike, let's go back to Saturday, which was rather painful. The Knicks game, I couldn't take it. As you know, I just can't absorb Celtics games, and especially against my Knicks, and especially when they're down 30. It doesn't settle well with me, and I get agita.
It definitely doesn't settle well with you, and you get agita, that's for sure. 115-93, the Celtics beat the Knicks. They now trail the series 2-1. Jason Tatum had 22 points, 9 boards, 7 dimes. Peyton Pritchard with 23 points. He had 5 threes. That was huge for them. They had 5 players in double figures. I thought that Jaylen Brown summed it up perfectly for the Celtics. Yeah, they beat us twice in Boston, but guess what? They got beat us 4 times.
Yeah, you got to beat us 4 times. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Not twice, not once, not 3. You got to win 4 games. So it's a lot of basketball to be played.
Thanks for the update there. I'll say this, that, the thing that bothers me is, and I like Pritchard, and I hate him that he plays in Boston, but I like his game. I think the guy deserves 6 man. I think he's been unbelievable. He comes off the bench, and what he does, it's funny. I think he's actually am I wrong? I think he's 6'2 or 6'3, but when you watch him on the court in an NBA game, he looks like he's about 5'6". Right? Because all these other guys are so big. And you see him running around out there. He looks really small. But the thing that bothers me about the Knicks is they just let this guy White and this guy Pritchard. Do they ever guard either one of them? Have you ever seen anything like the wide open shots that Pritchard and White get? I mean, wide open. Because all they do is worry about Tatum and Brown. And they don't spend any time, it would appear to me, am I wrong, guarding White and Pritchard? how do you let this guy have five threes? And he's like, you know, he looks like a little kid out there. And I know how good of a player he is. Don't get me wrong. But when you're watching the game and you see this little dude and no one guards him and he's shooting 30 footers wide open. And, you know, that's too deep for me to begin with. Like, can we get these guys inside of 25 feet? Would that be all right? But this guy's chucking logo shots unguarded and making them, and they don't do anything about it. You can guarantee you're going to lose a game when you're just letting two great shooters shoot wide open threes like they're free throws.
Yeah, and you can kind of trace back the games in Boston to the lack of shooting from those two guys. You know, like you said, Tatum and Brown get all the juice, but if you go look, I mean, one of those two games, White was like 3 for 16 or something like that from three. You had a game where Pritchard was 3 for 9 from three in one of those games in Boston. When they're hitting their threes, those wide open looks that they get, that really changes the balance of the game. And I think that that's where Saturday was so big for them. Those two, and you know what else they did, Sky? They gave Pritchard more burn. I think he only played in the low 20s in those first two games in Boston. He was in the 30s in this game on Saturday, allowed him to get a little bit more wide open looks than he made him.
I mean, the guy's like a mosquito. He's out there flying around, driving people nuts. And he, you know who he reminds me of is Brad Marchand, who's just allowed to skate free and roam around in circles and create havoc. Nobody ever does anything about it. If I were coaching an NHL team, I would have someone take his head off. Like, I'd be like, you see this little dude out here that's giving us problems? Somebody kill him, please, on this very next shift. Thank you so much. And then Pritchard, send somebody out there to rack his ass. Get someone in his face. Start banging his ass. Because he's another one that whines to the refs. So get up in his grill. He ain't scoring that little against these bigs. Put somebody's ass on him. I don't care who it is. I swear to God, if they leave this guy open tonight and wide open, they're going to lose again by 20.
There was a lot of talk with the Knicks guys after if maybe they didn't come out with as much gas because they were up 2-0 in the series. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but they did ask several of the players about it afterwards, including Jalen Brunson.
I don't think we came with the mindset of being satisfied, but I think it was just subconsciously satisfied being up 2-0, but it's not the way we need to approach the game.
Listen, how about this? The place is packed. There's a million fans outside partying. It was a beautiful day. The game was at 3:30. The party started at noon, right outside the Garden. I mean, there was a million people there. And then you come out in the first quarter and play like it doesn't effing matter at all. They like, here's Boston just scoring every trip down. They just keep knocking down threes and shooting layups. And scoring. And the Knicks are just missing every single shot they took. The game was over at the end of the first quarter. Game over. Game over. So they played like a bunch of wussies. They didn't show up on a Saturday afternoon when the entire city was on its ear and lit. Place was lit. And all the movie stars were there, all the famous people, rock stars, you name it. Former player, everybody was there, and what an abortion you gave us. Thanks so much for that effort. That was the most, honestly, pee-poor effort I've ever seen. And you know I'm talking about going to the bathroom, right? Pee-poor effort. That was pathetic. In front of New York City, this is what you gave us? Now, I'll give you this. The Pacers did the same thing, but they came out in game four last night like somebody had taken their children hostage. Now, they better come out tonight and play like that, or like you said, the series is over. They're not beating this team. They're the champs.
They are, and it's going to be very tough to finish them off. I will give you the numbers for that later on here on Coast to Coast, and I do know that they are bringing in, you know, Foster's doing the game tonight. And the Knicks were very good with Foster as the ref last year. Here we go. Charting the refs, Scotty. Jeez, they're charting the refs guy already for tonight. 3-0 the Knicks were in Boston.
Jesus, this guy from Boston.
We might find that out tonight. We're going to find out if you're a better ref than him. We'll have to get the – hopefully they put a two-minute report out for you after the game. We'll find out how you did.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mike, the thing that stands out for me with the Thunder series with the Nuggets is I think they are at an advantage based on their youth. Believe it or not, I think experience leans Denver, fair enough. But I think they look tired to me. And they, you know, played a big series before this. And then now you're seeing them. They look gassed yesterday at times, in my opinion. And Oak City doesn't have that issue at all. They're young. They can play all day. They can play every day. They can play back to back. They do it all year long. And then in the playoffs, they give them a day off. Okay, which benefits them even further. And I think that at some level, to me, this is glaring. And I think that it gives them an edge. Frankly, going into Paycom, I think they're going to win that game. And at some level, when it's all said and done, Denver's best shot might be, believe it or not, in a game seven with the experience of, you know, because I think Denver will go home and hold court based on Joker, Gordon, and Murray. That trifecta right there, along with, you know, Porter, Brown, and it goes on and on, Westbrook. I think they'll hold court in six. Seven, it comes down to, can the young Thunder team that was the best team in the NBA handle the moment of a game seven on their home floor, or are they going to gag on a spoon? I think they'll win five. And you know what? It would behoove them to go to Denver and win again, because I think in a game seven, the young team could crumble. I think they're better than the Nuggets, though. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's catching up with them a bit. You know, let's remember, the Nuggets fired their coach with, what, 4 or 5 games left in the regular season.
Right.
You know, they then had to play hard in all those games because they wanted to secure home court in the first round and be the 4 seed, which they ended up doing. Then they played 7 games with the Clippers. They've now played 4 games here, tough physical games with the Thunder. Yeah,
and overtime.
The Thunder. Yeah, and the Thunder, you know, they didn't play a game with any kind of sweat for the last 3 months of the regular season. They won in 4 in the first round, and it's just natural that they've got a little bit more in the tank, and they're deeper, too. Let's not forget that. They bring more guys in off the bench, so... The
and
longer
they play
this
better
goes,
defense.
They play better defense, too. So the longer this goes, it's not going to be very good for them. As far as yesterday goes, 92-87, series now tied 2 games apiece. Honestly, I don't need the highlight because it was one of the – I don't know who did the game yesterday, but it was – I mean, can we juice it up a little bit? Can we get excited? I mean, it was just as boring as the game itself. So I guess it was a carbon copy of that. SGA had 25 points, 6 boards, 6 dimes. Here's SGA. You knew he had some pressure, had to get the job done down 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, my mentality was do whatever it takes to win. And yeah, I do put a lot of pressure on myself. I have very high expectations for myself. I always have. I always dream big and reach for the stars.
Who doesn't?
I try to accomplish my goals.
Yeah, who doesn't? Look, this team is, you know, ultra aggressive defensively, and I think it is why they won. And then they go, they reach into that bag and they get Wallace hitting the go-ahead three. Now, there's like 2 people on earth who know who that is. And they had, you know, this guy Wallace hits the shot. I thought that was huge. And I thought Aaron Wiggins played well. And most people think of the other Wiggins, the one that went to Miami and didn't like playing in Miami. He's the only guy that ever didn't like playing in Miami. Because he's another one from, the, you know what happens? They play in Golden State and it just, I mean, they need a genie to make them happy. They got to rub it, you know, get the 3 wishes from a genie. All I know is those 2 guys, the nobodies on that team, made a huge difference late in that game. And they, you know, that depth, that youth and that talent that they have, it stood out to me glaringly. I'm like, Wallace hit the go-ahead three. I'm like, what is happening here? You know, honestly.
Well, road teams now, through yesterday's games, are 10-4 straight up in the second round. Now, think about that. The road team has won 10 of the 14 games in the second round, all four series combined. You said it for a while. Home court just it just doesn't have the same juice that it used to have around the NBA or the NHL.
How about this guy? When you see numbers like that. How about this guy, Joker? Does he really have 23 turnovers in the series? In the second round, he has 23 turnovers. When in God's name have you ever seen that guy have 23 turnovers in a playoff series besides never?
Never.